Well, hey there. Yes, yes, this is Radio Fishing back on the air. Another one on February 8th, 2014. Doing a little better right now. We're up to almost 9 o'clock in the morning, the one we did at 6. That was a little... I got to tell you, it's hard to be excited. It's, you know, at a few minutes after 6 in the morning, get excited about the radio show. A couple of cups of coffee, and we're getting ready to do another one. And we've got Vinny here with us, and Vinny and his wife were out fishing the other day. How'd it go?
Actually, we had a really good time. We also had Austin with us.
Oh, you had Austin on the boat,
brought him
too?
Out, yeah.
So I saw a picture, big black drum, nice yep. fish. So when you guys get ready, what do you do to get ready to go out on a day?
Well, yesterday, the plan, you know, Austin and I had been putting a plan together to go chase cobia. Because just a couple days prior to that, my wife and I saw dozens of cobia out at Mangrove Point. And so we had a fever. We were going to go catch a handful of cobies. So we got ready at about 7 o'clock in the morning. We had frozen mullet. We had frozen ladyfish. We had some... you know, fairly good-sized rods that we were going to try and free-line some mullet and ladyfish and try and catch these things. And that was our initial plan. And, of course, Darlene was with us, and she had her secret weapon, you know, the gold jig head mission fishing, and then the pearl storm lures that she always uses. And so we loaded up the boat. We got out at just about 7:30. Pulled out of our house. We live in Punta Gorda Isles, and we pulled out, got into the lake, which is near the cut, and we decided to go ahead and troll out because we were going to fish Alligator Creek Reef first. And so we were trolling the storm lures out of the lake, and we weren't 1 minute from our house. Darlene hooks up a snook, and so we get the snook in the boat, and we realized we'd forgot our net.
Yeah, always something, isn't it? You prepare for 3 days, and you're going to go, going to do this, going to do that, and yeah. there's always something sitting on the
dock. Yeah, we were loaded, and so we decided, turned around, got to the house, got the net, headed back out. Same spot again. We're trolling the storm lures, and we caught a Spanish mackerel, which really surprised us. That
inside, the yeah, that's inside, being inside, mackerel's not usually up inside.
Yeah, so we caught Darlene catches a Spanish mackerel, and then we...
Did you notice, folks, it was Darlene caught this, Darlene caught that. We're not talking about Vinny and Austin catching fish, we're talking about Darlene.
There's going to be a moral to this story when yes. it's over. So, you know, we caught that, and continue on heading out towards Ponce, we catch another mackerel. And we probably caught, I'd say, two snook and three mackerel on the way out to Ponce, just trolling the storm lures. And of course, Darlene caught all of those. And so we headed out, got up to Ponce, throttled up, headed towards Alligator Creek with cobia on our mind, or Alligator Creek Reef. And we got out there, and, you know, earlier we'd caught a grouper out there, you know, a month or so ago.
Right.
And Austin had a fever, you know, okay. he had grouper fever. So we decided, okay, we had fairly heavy tackle with us, not enough to really tackle a big grouper, but we decided we put some mullets on, put them out there at the reef to try and catch a grouper. And I'd say about 10 minutes into it, we hooked up a grouper, and it had its way with us, and we didn't stand a chance. So... we fished there for about, I'd say, 45 minutes to an hour. Really didn't do too good. And so from there, we headed to Burnt Store. And we fished outside the markers at Burnt Store for a while. We caught, you know, we caught a few fish.
Now, did you hook the grouper at the reef? What kind of grouper was it?
I'm sure it was a Goliath.
Okay.
And we had him on for maybe 20 seconds, and the party was over. We didn't have the tackle to get him out of there.
Yeah, it's amazing how that happens, isn't it? You put all that effort into it, you go, you know what? I brought a .22 to an elephant hunt.
Yes.
Yep.
We had a BB gun out there. And I remember telling Austin beforehand, I said, okay, we can try and get a grouper, but we're not ready for it. And so we tried. And so we left. It finally started getting warm. It was cold yesterday morning. And it started to warm up a little bit. We headed down to Burnt Store. and we were going to try and get into some trout and snook. And we saw some pretty good snook. We started trolling into Burnt Store. We trolled through the canals in Burnt Store, and as we were passing through there, we started to see some drum under the docks. And so we cast a shrimp into there, and it wasn't, 30 seconds after we saw those drum, you know, Darlene hooks up a nice, you know, I'd say, I don't know, 20-pound drum.
Yeah, nice fish.
And she caught it on the classic pink fishing Frank's fishing rod. and it's surprising, every time we go fishing, you know, I'm going out with bigger tackle, and she's catching the big, you know, the bigger shark and the bigger fish on these the pink fishing Frank rods. But hooked up a nice drum. We got it in the boat where we kept it, and that we
that's amazing food. I a lot of people, they don't think so, you know, black drums, parasites, all this other stuff, but I gotta tell you, I'm actually addicted to them. I think they're great. And if I don't have any fish in the freezer and I hook a drum, it's definitely going home with me.
Now, it was a good time. And so we caught that, and then we pulled on out of there, and we started to see some snook. As we pulled out, we saw some really big snook right outside south of the entrance to Burnt Store. We started seeing some big snook, and they were spooky. They, you know, as we trolled past them, they were flying by. Didn't get into any of those.
Now, when I'm doing those snook, one of the things that I count on is them being spooky. So I run my lures 3 times further back than I normally would. Because as soon as I see the snook and I see them start darting behind the boat, I open the bail and I let that lure sit there. And I'll count to about 10 before I'll just keep feeding line out, because the storm will float to the surface. And I just keep feeding line out, pulling line, at least 10, 15 seconds worth of that, which is actually quite a while. And then I close the bail, and that bait will start to go. But it gives time enough for the boat to have gone by, then the lure comes by. Yeah. Now, he's way back there. I got half a spool of line out. You know, he's 75, that lure's 75 yards back, mm-hmm. You know, because I got 100 and some yards of line on there. I got half the spool out. So he's 50, 75 yards behind the boat, 100, 150 feet. And when I close that bail and that lure starts to work, a lot of times I get him that way. I give it time, you know, I want that boat to be gone for just a bit before the lure comes by. I stay closer to the boat because the mackerel and even the canal snook and stuff. But if I'm seeing them spooking out, darting behind the boat, go back, open that bail, start feeding line out. Just keep popping it off the spool so that lure will stay stationary. And do that for 10, 15 seconds, then close that bail back up and hold on to the rod. Because when it hits, you don't have a lot of line left.
Yep.
And so as soon as it hits, you got to shut down, and then you're working it. But it's an easy trick to get those snook to hit. If you give them time for the boat to have gone by, don't stop the boat, don't do anything, just run back, open one of the bales, and start feeding line out. Best to pick it up, point the rod out, and just keep feeding that line, and give that lure that extra 10, 20 seconds before it hits them. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Makes a big difference. But if that lure is 100, 150 feet behind the boat, you'll be surprised what happens.
Yeah, it was funny. These were, as we were going along with a trolling motor, and we were at that little south island just south of the Burnt Store entrance, and we had the snook passing our boat. They were actually going from behind us and heading in front of the boat and taking off, and we threw everything we had at them, and you know, we didn't get any of them.
Now, I very seldom see this snook come from behind and
they race with me,
but, you know, it does happen. But I got to tell you, Vinny, that might be something that you have a particular type of luck. It's similar to mine. If the snook is going to go from behind you to race in front of you, that's going to be you or me. I got to tell you, sorry, buddy, but yeah. I'm telling you, that's a very particular type of luck.
Yeah. From there, we headed down to, up to Pirate Harbor. And we gave that a try. You know, we saw some snook, but we didn't get into any. And so we
My favorite doing in PJ or Pirate Harbor is popping cork shrimp for those snook. Yeah. I just like I fish for trout, except I leave about another foot of line out. If I'm normally doing 2-3 foot, I try and get as close to 4 feet below the bobber as I can, and I'll throw it by the docks and pop it. And then yeah. I don't pop it as much, but I give it a few pops. And I let it sit and drift around by that dock, and then I'll give it another little pop. And it's not so much the pop that's getting them, it's that shrimp jumping as you pop the bobber.
Yeah.
But being down a little further, seems to work good. If you can't get away with it in most spots, but if I can get that line a little deeper, say 3.5 to 4 feet below the bobber, and in Pirate Harbor, you'd be surprised how many snook I catch with a shrimp and a popping cork.
Well, when we were down there, we were using the nickel or the new penny gulp shrimp, three
right.
inch.
Mm-hmm.
And Austin and I were using those. Darlene was freelining shrimp, and we got a couple trout, and then from there we decided to start heading home, and we went through Poacher's Cut. So we
right.
went into Alligator Creek, went through Poacher's Cut, and there's this little spot in there that I always stop at. That there's a little bend in Poacher's Cut with a little deep hole, about a 10-foot deep hole. And we dropped the Talon and sat up there, and we free-lined. And we caught I would say that Austin caught the world's record smallest sheephead known to man. And this thing it was smaller than the pinfish we sell here at the store.
the 2.5-inch sheephead, yeah.
Yeah, and then Darlene hooked up a decent mangrove snapper. We caught a couple decent mangrove snapper and brought them home, and so we kind of had a combination of snapper and some drum for dinner that night. So
that's cool.
We finished it off at the cut. We always tend to stop there, fish there, unless we're really tired, and then from there we just headed home, called it a day. But it was a great day, a lot of fun.
Now, what kind of boat are you running?
I've got a 22-foot Skeeter bay boat, center console.
Nice boat. Very
yeah,
nice.
Good boat.
And especially in these months where it's a little windy, it's kind of a comfort to have that little extra boat with you.
Yeah, the gunwales are a little higher on the sides, and we've got railing on the sides, so it's a pretty safe boat. When the harbor picks up, it gets a little rough, it handles it pretty well for a 22-foot boat.
Yeah, that's always nice to have those little extra gunwales. One thing I do like about Skeeters, they came from the bass hulls. They don't run as shallow as some, but they have a great design for the hull for where it really sticks the water good and really holds up nice. So I'm with you on that one. I really like the Skeeter hulls. I mean, they could run a little skinnier,
yeah,
but they add a comfort factor that where I can forgive them for that little deeper water.
Yeah,
it's a little more comfortable. It's a nice feeling to know that if it gets up real sloppy, it's going to stick that water good and
well,
handle it.
You know, I'm new here, so I'm probably as experienced as most of the fishermen that come in here and buy tackle and bait from us. And I'm learning. I've got a year's experience on this harbor, but I've been caught in the storms, the summer storms. Darlene and I both, she's my fishing partner,
yeah.
And we've been out there, we've been caught in it, and it's amazing how that harbor turns.
Yeah, for all of you who don't know, Vinny's one of the new members of the pirate crew here. He's in a couple of days a week helping us out, and it's been great. He does an excellent job. If you guys get a chance to come in and talk to him, I know you'll enjoy it. This is a little different, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's not much like Fishing Franks out there.
No.
No. He looks at me and goes, oh, no, now I'm part of it. Oh, my God.
How'd I do this?
It always amazes me sometimes. But you're used to corporate America and actually worldwide. You've worked all over the world.
I have,
and
yeah.
Now coming down to, being part-time in being part of the pirate crew here, it's a little different experience. The stress level's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah. No, it's very enjoyable. It's funny because when we moved here, I was spending a lot of my time here because I enjoyed the people here at the store. And one day, Darlene said, "Vinny, you need to just get a job there." and ironically, you and I talked, and next thing you know, I'm working part time here. But
yeah,
really enjoy it.
It's a lot of fun. And being in PGI, you're a member of PGI Fishing Clubs.
Yeah.
It's an amazing group. If you live in Punta Gorda Isles, they have the PGI Fishing Club. You do have to live in PGI to join the club. But it's one of the better run organizations I know of. And it's an amazing group. So many of the guys over there, I mean, I know them all. And
yeah,
I go there and talk two, three times a year, but it's hard to tell an hour of the day where there isn't somebody from the PGI Fishing Club in here.
Yeah,
it's amazing group.
It's a good club. We really enjoy it, and it's well run. It's a very well run club.
An amazingly well run club. One of my heroes in the tackle industry is Cal Krosner, And Cal was in the tackle business for decades, and since, I don't know, the 40s or something. But, I mean, he's an amazing guy. And Cal actually helped create Fish and Franks as it is today, believe it or not. Cal gave me one of my first breaks and allowed me to help get my prices. So, you know, when you come into Fish and Franks, the only one who even competes with us is one of the major chains. And nobody else competes with us. We just kick everybody's butt nowadays. But Cal Krosner from the PGI Fishing Club, he had a big part in getting us to that thing, you know, showing me that there was more to it than, you know, you could be more than a normal tackle store.
Yeah.
And Cal was an amazing guy. And so I have a very strong ties to the PGI Fishing Club that way. And then Bernstar Anglers and Gulf Cove, and there's a lot of fishing groups in this area. And it was funny, years ago we had a couple of bass clubs and that was about it. And I think I was one of the very first speakers at the PGI Fishing Club years and decades ago when they first started it. I think I was one of their first speakers, if not the first. I mean, I was there when they were getting it going in those first couple months. It's really came a long way since then.
Yeah.
Like I guess all of us have, you know. But it's been a lot of fun. It's a good ride. And one of the things, oh, I got to do an ad for the tent sale. Mark Nichols from DOA, Barry from Star Rods, Mark from Bomber, Eric from Mirror Lures, Jim from Rapala, Sean from AFW, American Fishing Wire is coming this year, Charlie from Quantum, Gary is from Pure Fishing. I forget the CEO's name from Penn. I'm sorry. I just drawn a blank here. I was trying to pull it out of my head. I can't. But the CEO of Penn is going to be here. Eric from Lick'em Lures. If you want a good soft plastic bait and you like buying American, well, DOA is American. All 100% American made. But Lick'em Lures actually made here in Port Charlotte. Designed, developed, manufactured, everything right here in Port Charlotte. So it's a great new soft spoon, soft plastic bait. We're talking to several other people coming. Gary Loomis from Temple Fork Outfitters is going to be here. This is your chance, your day, to come to the store and meet the people who make the stuff you fish with. That's the key, is getting to talk to the people who actually manufacture it, not somebody, not even like me, you know. These are the people who make the stuff that you fish with, and you get to interact with them. And what's even more important is they get to interact with you. And that's been the key. I mean, we've seen companies change policies, remanufacture items, bring out new products just from talking to people at the Fish and Franks tent sale. This has been an amazing thing. But if you fish with Star Rods, the owner, developer of the Star Rods, he will be here, Barry. It's going to be a very cool show. That's March 15th. And it's all happening in the parking lot and in the store here. And give you a secret, there's three parking lots right behind us on Edgewater. And if you don't listen to the show, you're going to be parking three blocks up the highway and walking down. But if you listen to the show, just remember, just go right behind the store, right across the street in Edgewater. There's plenty of parking. So anyway, so are you getting ready to go out? When are you going fishing?
Well, I'm going to try to go after chase a snook this afternoon.
So what's your game plan?
Well, we're going to go. We're going to fish off of land.
Oh, you're going with Carl.
Yeah.
You're fishing spillways.
Yeah, we're going to go try and see if we can find something around the spillways.
Yeah, take that Storm, but get the extra one. Get the one with the purple back on it.
Yeah.
The all-white one is great there, but to get bigger fish, use the one with the purple back. And you're going after big snook today, right?
Right.
Purple is big fish. White, all the rest of them, you won't get as many, but the fish will be bigger, noticeably heavier. And if you're looking for bigger ones, grab that Storm twitching stick with the purple back on it. You'll see bigger fish.
Yeah, that'll be in my pocket when I walk out.
Yeah, that's kind of key to it. Have you fished the spillways before?
Never. No, this be a first.
It's an amazing thing to be able to walk up to these dams, and once you go out and you actually get to do it, go back on your own sometime, take a lure and throw on the freshwater side and catch a bass. Now, that's going to take a while. It took me 4 hours. It took me 10 minutes to get my snook on the bottom side. But I wanted to stand in one spot without moving and catch a bass and then catch a snook. And I did it right up here by the spillway. It's just north of Bob Evans up here.
Yeah.
And I did it right there because, well, it was easier to get to back then. But there's some amazing fishing and you can do. And you can literally fish for bass on the top of the dam and fish for snook and tarpon at the bottom of the dam. If you get lucky, you're going to get, not only get your snook, but you'll get your tarpon today.
That'd be good. Yeah, we're seeing a lot of tarpon, surprisingly.
Yeah. A lot of, but you're going to see a lot more in the canals right now than you are outside. In the canals, there's a gazillion tarpon, but the same thing at the spillways. That's what hits in the spillways is the snook and the tarpon. They're both there to feed on the same stuff. And you're just sitting there, and you've caught a couple snook, and next thing you know, you got this fish on. It's a little different. You're like, geez, what is this? And all of a sudden, there's your tarpon. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you've got your heavy rod. What's your what do you got in your head? What are you thinking?
As far as?
Dam, spillway. Now, when I go to do a dam, I always remember being a kid, and we would swim up to the dams. And once you get under the water and behind the water, it's perfectly calm and still. There's no current back there. The water doesn't move hardly at all. It's from the waterfall out, the first few feet, it's sucking you to the water. The water's actually being pulled as the water falls. It sucks it down under, so you get a current that pulls you towards the falls. And then you get out a little ways, and the current's pushing you away from the falls. So you're being pushed away, and then you get sucked in, and then as soon as you get under the water, get behind the falls, there's no movement to the water. Perfectly still. So where do you think the fish are laying?
Well, I think that's where they're at. And you know, when I lived in Texas, we used to go up to a big power station lake, Lake Texoma, and we'd fish under the spillway and under the dam. And same kind of concept. We'd catch big stripers in that calm water.
You got to get that bait so it's falling right down with the water. I throw it up into the water and let it fall, and hopefully it boils under and pops back up behind the falls.
Yeah.
And so, always remember, if you're fishing the spillways with a floating lure, I try and throw it right into the falls and let it, see if I can get it to be pulled up underneath. I'll let it sit for a few seconds, and then I start working it out. And that's an amazing way to catch fish. But if you're using the jigs, most of us use the small, soft plastic stuff, the little storm, the 2-inch, 3-inch storm baits. Those you got to pitch up in there and bring them right back out because they sink and they'll hit the rocks right away. So you got to just pitch them and work them.
Yeah.
But don't forget to throw out to open water. I mean, we concentrate on the falls, but there's a lot of fish sitting, you know, 20, 30 feet away, a little bit calmer water, and then they'll come up and feed on the dam and then go back out. And that's usually where you'll find your tarpon, sitting back away from the falls. The snook will be laying, if they can, right behind the water. But the tarpon will be, if the dam's on your left, throw as far as you can cast out to the right, and that's where you're going to hook that tarpon. They're going to be up more out in that middle. They're not going to want to be trapped and laying up underneath the falls the way the snook will.
Yeah. So, well, if you know, it'll be a little extra present if I hook up a tarpon while we're out there.
You got a good chance. You're going with Carl, and Carl's really good at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're gonna have a great time. Anyway, I guess we got to get going here. You've got to get out and do some fishing. And the music is playing. The show is coming to an end. And it's this is Vinny, one of the newest members of the pirate crew here at Fish and Franks. And say hi to your wife.
Hello, darling.
Yeah, otherwise she'll kick my butt. You know?
She's saying, where are you?
Yeah. Well, she knows you came here. Nothing ever happens right after that. But anyway, this is Fish and Frank, and thanks for listening to Radio Fishing. Remember, tent sale on March 15th this month at the Fishing Club. It's all about cobia, and we have another night to book up. So if you want to learn all about cobia, call up. You can reserve seats for not this Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday night. And we have, I think, 20 or 30 seats left for that one. So if you want to learn about cobia, call the store. Get booked in at the next Fishing Club. See you later. This is Fish and Frank. Bye.